Wiley Publishing, in association with Imagine That Studios and Binary Studios, presents.
Do a podcast?
Do you want to do a podcast, Serena?
Okay.
Okay.
Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. Going above and beyond, Podcasting for Dummies, with your hosts, T. Morris and Chuck Tomasi.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast, where I am Chuck Tomasi and joined, as always, with the one and only T. Morris. How are you today, T?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Chuck. At the time of this recording, it is July 4th. So, happy 4th of July, everybody, for those of you in the Americas and in the American territories. It's July 4th, and I kicked off the morning with a half marathon, so you know what? I'm taking it real slow for the rest of the day.
Again! You seem to do that before every one of these recordings. What's up with that?
I know, right? I don't know. I'm a glutton for punishment.
Oh, well, so are we. As podcasters, we are all gluttons for punishment.
That we are. But we keep coming back. We keep coming back for more. And for those of you who are coming back, for those of you who are reviewing the podcast on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Man, I think my age just showed right there. But on Apple Podcasts and talking about us on Google Play and people who are listening to us on Spotify. Thank you all so very much for your support. Thank you for talking up the podcast. Thank you for picking up the book. And we hope you're growing from it and getting something out of it. And for those of you who have purchased all four editions of Podcasting for Dummies, I would tell you to get a hobby, but I think you got it, and it's called podcasting. But there you go.
Amazing. And even if you bought the third edition a couple of years ago, there's new stuff in here, which we'll be covering in an episode or two. Actually, there's a lot of new material in here. Today's topic, before we get ahead of ourselves, today's topic is all about podcasting for publicity.
Yeah, now we're not talking about promoting. We're not talking about promoting a podcast. We're talking about actually having the podcast as a promotional vehicle.
Yes.
And we're gonna share like the do's and the don'ts and, you know, how to make your podcast still entertaining, but not make it an infomercial.
And some of the podcasts lend themselves better to this than others. I mean, ultimately, if you are podcasting, it is a social media network. You are building your brand. So whatever, you know, flavor, genre, whatever you want to call it, you put into your product is going to come back to you. So there's that aspect of it. But what more can you tell me, T?
So when you are using podcasting as a promotional platform, what you want to make sure of is that you are not pushing the product so hard that it's just a 30-minute commercial, or as we called them back in the 90s, early aughts, an infomercial. You're using podcasting as your promotional vehicle, as your promotional platform, as a way of letting people know, I have a product, we would like for you to take a look at it. And one of the things that I pride myself on is that I was kind of ahead of this curve with podcasting as a promotional vehicle with Podcasting for Dummies, very first edition. This is the story I like to tell about that. And I know Chuck has heard it, and Chuck was eager to come on board when I brought him in for the second edition. But in the first edition, it was me, Evo Terra, and a guy named Chris. And Chris is our editor. He is our editor over at Wiley Publishing. He sat down with us and he basically said, we need to talk about ways of promoting the book. And everyone was talking about things like, well, we should probably do webinars, because that was a new thing. Webinar was a big buzzword back then. Mm-hmm. People, of course, were talking about maybe we could do a, tech show appearances, you know, reach out to some of the tech podcasts and talk about podcasting. And even though that's kind of a circular topic for people, it'd be great to get it from the Podcasting for Dummies people. And then they come to me. And I said, well, I would like to do a podcast about podcasting under the Wiley umbrella. And it's Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. The phone call went silent, went absolutely silent. And the head of publicity said, why didn't any of us think of that?
Well, and this seems like, you know, I mentioned this before.
It's right there.
It's hanging in front of your face. You've got a podcasting book. you should be doing a podcast about it or alongside yeah. it.
And I need to back up. I think the head of publicity was Chris, but the other person that was on the phone call was Steve Hayes. He is our chief editor over at Wiley Publishing. And again, it was one of those, this was right in front of us and we didn't think of this, but that is what I mean by using podcasting as a publicity vehicle. And when I still remember the first three shows I did for the companion podcast, because there were some things that you could do in the podcast that you can't do in the book.
Comparing
microphones, big one.
Sound effects, the bed level music, it's all over the place.
It was a really just ripe for the picking. The first three episodes I did was I did a no frills podcast, which was no intro, you know, just me hitting record. And I recorded this, made a file, uploaded it. And I used the computer, the computer's internal microphone. And that was it. The second one was a few more bells and whistles. You know, you had the intro music, you had the outro music. It was something I put together in GarageBand. It was a little more polished. It was edited. Then the third one, and I'm trying to figure out if I have. Yep. I wanted to make sure I had this. Hey, Chuck, blast from the past. Remember this?
He found his iRiver.
I found my original iRiver.
You got a red one. Mine was silver. I think you got like the second gen or something.
So for those of you who are listening to the audio version, I am holding up to the camera an original iRiver MP3 recorder. I had this hanging from my rear view mirror. And before anybody says anything, Noob, who is currently in chat, Noob is a state trooper. So I know that probably having this hanging from my rear view mirror might have been breaking a law or two. And I apologize, but this was also 15 years ago. So I think I'm off the hook. I think I'm past the statutes of limitations. But I did a podcast where I literally recorded what was called back then the car cast. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Where you basically hang this off the rear view mirror and you just chit chat away. So anyway, that was, so those were the first three episodes so that people could see not only how easy it is to make a podcast, but how different each podcast could sound and how each three fell in under that umbrella of podcasting. And that's what the companion podcast was. And I only talked about the book. I only talked about where you could pick up Podcasting for Dummies at the very end of the podcast. Yeah.
Because the podcast is not about the book. It's an adjunct. It's a companion, like it says, companion podcast.
It's an addendum.
Yeah. And we're treating this more like editorial comments, the director's notes, the things you get on the special DVD after the movie's over.
I would like to throw in real quick, and this is why I love Noob in chat. The law is phrased, it cannot block your primary view, and exact verbiage varies state to state. Consult your attorney for best advice.
That's the book, by the way. Oh, wait, no, that's things hanging from your mirror.
Right. Now, if I had the book hanging from my mirror, I think Noob would pull me over and go, we have to talk, sir.
By the way,
your stream. Yeah, I'm promoting here. So you were saying, though, that yes, the podcast is not necessarily the promotion. It's actually a lead by example. I mean, another example, and again, these are examples that I'm pulling from. I'd like to hear some examples from Chuck's past as well. But another example is when my lovely wife Pip and I were writing the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences series.
Yes. Now,
this was starting in 2010, 2011. And before the first book even came out in 2011, we launched in 2010 Tales from the Archives. So how was this a promotional vehicle? How was this a promotional vehicle for the ministry?
T, if you're giving away the book, why would anybody buy the book?
Exactly. Now that was a different platform thing altogether. But one of the ways that early on when we were using audiobooks, podcast audio fiction, mm-hmm. as promotional platforms was we were giving away, we being authors like me, Scott Sigler, JC Hutchins, Mer Lafferty, and so on. You know, many other authors were basically podcasting our books, giving them away for free, and then people would go out and they would buy the books to support the author.
Or You were giving them away, but you were only doing it a chapter a week. So it could take half a year to get your book in its entirety. But hey, if you want to go out and buy the whole book and read it this weekend, be my guest.
Yep. And so that was something else that people were doing. But for myself, that was as much as I loved podcasting fiction, podcasting long fiction, podcasting novels, and me being, I don't mind saying it, me being a true pioneer in that I was the first person to do a novel from cover to cover. I would also say that it was so time consuming that I wasn't writing anything new. And both my wife and I started experimenting with podcasting short fiction, and we found out, oh wow, podcasting short fiction is a little more manageable. We could work on the big stuff while still creating smaller stuff. And instead of spending week after week after week after week, we just need to spend a week on a short story and we're good. But what made the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences so much fun and such a great promotional platform was this. We had people who had never podcast fiction before. We had people who were writers but had always dabbled in podcasting, but they never had podcast their fiction before. And what Pip and I did was we reached out to authors, both new and established, people who had wanted to write in steampunk, and we said, we would like for you, as Astral Audio says in chat, we want to introduce the world to the audience, and if they like what they hear on Tales in the Archives, then we could go on ahead and we could say, well, here are the books. The books are set in this world if you like it. And so we had people who had never done that. And even better, one of my favorite stories is from author PJ Schneider, who wrote us a short story. She recorded it. She was really nervous about it. She told us. And then she heard intro music. And then she heard the sound of an airship. And then she heard her voice come in. And suddenly she was like, wait, they put sound effects and they scored it. And we were like, Yeah, we told you we were going to do this. You need to read your email a little closer. But the thing was that it was a great promotional vehicle for her because she wanted to promote her work. While she's promoting her work, she's also promoting our work by being in our universe. And then at the very end, we said, for more from the ministry, visit ministrypeculiarcurrences.com. And then, of course, we would say Phoenix Rising, now on sale at bookstores everywhere.
Right.
The first season of Tales in the Archives was such a huge success. In future books, we started referencing the podcast. And I kid you not, we had fans of the ministry actually footnoting what was referenced where, which case was referenced in the book. I mean, which agent was mentioned. And we were like, wow, this is like this. It's like when an episode of Loki comes out and suddenly all the fanboys go, did anyone happen to notice the reference in the TVA where, the, you know, and suddenly they're doing that with our work. And
that's when, like, you know, you got a fan base. That's awesome.
It's pretty awesome. I'm going to say it's really, really awesome.
Getting back to the time consuming thing you mentioned, right? You found you weren't writing because you were doing a lot of audio production, and
right.
You know, audio dramas are a lot of work. When you're doing theatrical work, even if it's just you reading, you will find that consuming. Something that I've seen done effectively at a cost is to hire someone else to do the production. Scott Sigler does this. I know Steve Rickyberg used to be. He may still be his audio production, audio engineer. They can take care of all the audio leveling and the editing and the music and whatnot, so that all Scott has to do is read. And write.
Yeah.
He's got to write new content, but read his old content. And then that takes care of it. I know Manager Tools does this as well. That's another case of promotional material that they've been giving away their podcast. They just passed their 16-year anniversary. And they started out with the idea that we're going to give away these actionable tips on management. And then later they did a Career Tools one, started in 2008. And they do this every week. They're giving away very excellent content, but they're selling the products. They're selling the conferences, Be an Effective Manager, Effective Communications, the resume builder. They've got online services that they could sell as well. That's not the point of their podcast. When you're listening to it, you're like, wow, this is great content, and I'm just sucking it up. Better resume, how to handshake, you know, meeting people, blah, blah, blah. And occasionally they'll interject now and say, hey, don't forget, we've got a conference coming up in Palo Alto on June 16th, da 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 da. You know, very quick, in their own voice, and on you go with the rest of the content. So it's very well done in the, it's like you get hooked on their content going, I want more of this. And then,
right.
And then you hear about, there's a conference, I can go to one day and I can get all this stuff jammed into one day. Sign me up. You know, so that,
right.
That's one way to do it. I know I kind of went from time consuming into a promotional show, but tip of the hat to Manager Tools at manager-tools.com if you haven't listened to them.
And that's, but I mean, that's the point we're getting at. You know, when people say things like, well, why give away the milk free or cacao?
So,
you know, that turn of phrase. The point is that you're winning people over by giving them something that will want them. It's that, now there's an adage that I do know as a performer, always leave the audience wanting more.
Yes.
Always leave the audience wanting more. So you give a tip on a piece of software, you give a tip on networking, or you give, it does not necessarily have to be, I'm coming from a fiction writer's perspective, but the other thing that you're offering is you're offering people a chance to sample your wares. You know, it's, you know, part of what made Red Bull Red Bull is that they gave out samples of their Red Bull energy drink. People like the taste of it. They pick up a couple of cans and then they pick up a few more cans. But it all started with that sample. It all started with that sample. And that's what podcasting as publicity, that's what it feeds on. It feeds on not just giving out tips and not just giving out free samples of whatever it is that you or your company do, but you also build a community around that. You build a community Yep. around that podcast. And whether it's science fiction, whether it is management tools and other tech software and hardware, it could also be brand recognition as well. I remember there was a fantastic podcast from Time Magazine, and it was called Countdown. It was a 10-part podcast. And this 10-part podcast was all about things that went wrong during the space race. And these were some of these stories I didn't even know. And I consider myself a NASA head. And I had no idea some of the things that went wrong during the race for the stars. And one of the things that they were talking about, because of course they said, well, we have to talk about Apollo 13. But right. Everybody's seen the movie, everybody's seen this, and they've talked to this. So we're going to look at Apollo 13 from the point of view of the mission's physician.
Interesting.
And they talked about the heart rates, and yep. They talked about their pulse rates when they were dealing with all this different stuff. And the thing that the takeaway that I got from that was, man, these guys were cool as customers. I mean, they were just, you know, their pulse rates never got over a certain level, even though, like, of course they have to tweak it up for Ron Howard, because it's, you know, nobody wants to see three cool people going, all right, we need to attach this. No, they want everybody like spasmically throwing stuff together to create an air filter. You know,
right,
I mean,
right.
that makes for good theater. Right. But again, I'm sitting there listening to the Countdown. And of course the marketing side of my brain kicks in and goes, I wonder why Time did this. And I'm like, it's Time Magazine. It's brand recognition.
Mm-hmm.
You know that it's reliable because it's Time Magazine. And then on top of that, not only is it Time Magazine, but it now makes me want, well, I want more. Well, guess what? Time Magazine's got a whole bunch of subscription stuff here that you can take advantage of. And I'm like, well, there you go. So platform using podcasting as a publicity tool does not necessarily mean you are making a podcast that is just one giant infomercial from beginning to end.
Oh, and please don't.
Oh, God, don't. God, please don't.
No, yeah, I do this as part of my day job. I am a developer right. advocate for a software company, ServiceNow, and right. I do podcasts. I do live streams. I'm doing the similar kind of thing as Manager Tools. I'm giving them enablement content. I'm giving them information to be informed, information to get excited about possibilities, because I know that by reaching out to our developer community, they become the advocates at the table when Company X says, hey, we need to redo our procurement application. And I want them to raise their hand and say, here's why we're going to build it on ServiceNow. You know, that they say, I can do this in 2 weeks for you, rather than this is going to be a 6 month project or whatever it is. I need to make sure that they are as equipped as possible. So I get excited over the topic. Their energy level goes up, and it is a promotional thing. That's why currently, anyway, that the developer advocacy team is driven out of marketing. I'm learning a whole bunch of stuff that I didn't learn in college, kids. I learned to be a computer science guy, not a marketing guy. But there is this is really feeding well as we, you know, take podcasting forward and recognizing what we are doing for the publicity side of it.
And that also, you know, when we talk about publicity, we're also talking about politics. And that was one of the things that we covered in podcasting for publicity. But here's the problem with one of the biggest problems with podcasts and politics. And we're not necessarily talking about political podcasts, you know, where we have talking heads that basically analyze. We're talking about actual people in politics doing political podcasts where they talk about the issues, where they talk about their perspective of the issues and the complications behind said issues. Sadly, the last White House podcast we had in the United States was hosted about 8-9 years ago. Barack Obama did have a podcast, and it was let me tell you something. If you want to talk about a politician who was built for podcasts, it was President Barack Obama, because we started listening to Renegades, which is the podcast that Barack Obama did with Bruce Springsteen. And let me tell you something. I was hanging on every freaking word. And it really is amazing listening to him talk about the issues, talking about the politics and talking about it from a politician's point of view. But this is the downside of podcasts when it comes to politics and publicity. As we cite in the fourth edition, the reason why they're hard to find right now is because they are dull as ditch water to listen to. Because unlike Barack Obama, not everyone is built for podcasting,
yeah.
which is weird because you would think that politicians would, you know, getting behind a mic, boom, but it's not that easy. It's not that easy.
Ronald Reagan would have made a great podcast. You know, he was the great communicator. Well.
Of course, yes. I'm the great communicator, and tear down this wall and make sure to like and subscribe. Smash that like button like your mama taught you. I love this podcasting thing. You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, you know, you would, and that's, but again, the hardest part about politicians as podcasters is that it has to come across as sincere.
Yeah. It seems like there's an opportunity there for a facilitator, though. I mean,
oh yeah,
it more of absolutely. An interview style where it's still their message, still their voice, but somebody is assisting because it. You know, I think all of us can agree a monologue podcast is probably the hardest one you'll ever do.
Absolutely, and I would also say on top of that, I would say on top of that that if you remember a friend of this podcast and a longtime friend in the podcasting community, Myrtle Lafferty, she was actually helping John Edwards. When he had his podcast, the One America podcast, Murr had a hand in that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually one of the first, if I remember correctly, if not the first, podcast where a politician turned to this new platform and said, here's where we're coming across and here's what we need to do. And you're absolutely right. I think in that respect, if a politician is thinking, I would like to do a podcast, the thing you have to be wary about is, okay, well, yeah, but if you want to do that, because it will get your name out there, it will publicize you.
It's a social media.
It is social media. It is a platform for publicity. Yes. But there was somebody running, I believe, for one of the many people running for the Democratic ticket on the last election. And he put his entire policy as a 7-track Spotify playlist. And I'm watching him going, I get it, dude. I know what you're trying to do here. And I think it's brilliant. But your playlist versus, you know, Tay-Tay's latest album. I'm sorry. I'm going to be listening to my Swiftie. I'm going to listen to my Swiftie on Spotify before I listen to your policy on climate change. Okay. And that is where the big challenge is with politicians coming into the podcasting arena. They need to make it
engaging.
And yes, thank you. That's the word I've been looking for. Engaging. It's got to be engaging. If it's not engaging, you're more or less spinning your wheels.
Right.
So it's a very fine line with publicity. It's a very fine line when you're using podcasting as a publicity platform, but it is feasible. It is extremely feasible. And, we're coming up on the end of this episode. So Chuck, what do you want everybody to have as a takeaway from this? What do you think it is that makes podcasting work as a publicity platform?
Think of it as a message, a microphone, a megaphone. A microphone would have been too appropriate there. If you have a product, if you have a service that you want to let other people know about, this can be one way of talking about it. Like you said, don't turn it into a 30-minute infomercial because you're going to run out of material really fast and your listeners will get bored. They're going to catch on and go, I'm being preached at. I'm being sold to. No, you want to use it. Maybe subversive isn't the right word, but you want to use it as a way to draw in that passion, get those people interested in what you have to say and say, look, this comes from my book at the end. Or you say, hey, you want to learn more? Here's the product or service to go talk about. Then you use it that way. Or you like what we're talking about? Attend one of our conferences. You can get this whole 6-week podcast series done in an afternoon. You know, there's different ways. It's not for every podcast. It's not for every product and service. But if you've got something that aligns with that, it's something to take serious and build that into your content. Make it part of the whole spectrum of what you're doing. It's no accident that, you know, again, I'm in marketing and somebody said, why don't we have a podcast for our developers? I'm like, would they listen to that? And of course, you do a little Google searching and realize, yeah, your competition already has podcasts. You better get on the bandwagon because they're going to run you over. It's another channel to reach people. It's another social media to engage those people and get them excited. And you shouldn't be looking at it as, okay, I've got a podcast. How do I sell something? It's I've got a product or service. Is there a podcast that would be engaging to get these people interested in that?
And then to add to that, what I would also say is that podcasting for publicity is also giving away something of quality.
Good point.
Whatever you're giving away, it should be a podcast. It should be content of quality. There were some short stories in those seasons of Tales from the Archives that were absolutely phenomenal. They were so good. We had to reach out to some of the authors and go, would you mind if we had a flashback with this character? Can we use this concept? Wow. Can we do this? That was, I mean, I don't mind saying it. The Agents of Awesome, the Office of the Supernatural and Metaphysical, which is the American equivalent to the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences, that was created by Jack Mangan. And Jack Mangan, you know, longtime podcaster, that made a huge impression on the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences universe, which was why when we were wrapping up the series, we dedicated that book to everyone that contributed to the to what we can say is now the award-winning Tales from the Archives, because it won several Parsecs Award for Best Anthology, which is something we are both very, very proud of, me and Pip. But that was quality content. So whether it is, whether it's introduction tips, whether it's an audio addendum, or whether it is just brand new content, it should be quality content that you're giving away for free. So Chuck, take us out. Where can people find now? It comes for the time for us to pump our book. So
don't
Chuck,
hit that 30-second fast forward button yet.
Not yet, baby.
You can find our book and all of our podcasts, this companion podcast, at podcastingfordummies.com. You can find the book, of course, anywhere you find your books online or books in person. I actually saw and Amazon brick and mortar. I didn't even know that was a thing.
That's a thing. That's a thing. That is a thing.
That's awesome. All right. Podcasts, of course, Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon. We're all over the place. Call our voice line. We'd like to hear your opinions, your ideas, your thoughts on podcasting for publicity or any of our other chapters. 703-791-1701 is how you can reach us. Follow us on WhatsApp, Google WhatsApp voice, you know, all that stuff. Get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. This is a social media network, as we mentioned before. We are doing this live on Twitch, so you can watch with us, twitch.tv/TheTMonster. Live stream Q&A, like many of our people have been doing in there. Don't forget, Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast, is protected by Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives, share alike, United States 3.0 license. When 4.0 comes out, maybe we'll let you know about that too. Find out more at creativecommons.org. That's it for this episode. For the T-Monster and me, everybody, pod on.